Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
You're very welcome back. Now from Clonus to Cosmopolitan magazine, Orla Maguire is an entrepreneur from Monaghan, living in New York for many years, and during a huge career, she's been a stylist to the stars and is now founder of Lash Star Beauty, a range of mascaras, lashes and all sorts of products to maximise the eyes. She is in studio in front of me with fluttering eyelashes. Orla, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Maura. You were talking about bats earlier. I like to say I love to bat my lashes.
You love to, well, you're batting your lashes away. Orla, can we bring you back all the way? How did you end up in New York in the first place?
Absolutely. I think I've always had an obsession with magazines and fashion and beauty from a young age. So, you know, it was during college in Dublin here that I got my green card through one of the visas. So, you know, most of my classmates were heading over to New York. So I was going to jump on that bandwagon and get a taste of the bright lights and see how the editorial world was over there and how I could kind of mooch my way into it.
And how did you mooch your way in?
You know, I literally landed in New York, had some friends in photography, Irish guys, and realised that I had to kind of get on board with a stylist as an assistant. So I got my resume together, knocked down a few doors to see who I could assist. And literally, you know, very quickly, I started assisting some of the top stylists. And I had the best career, really, from that regard, because I was working 7 days a week. I was traveling the world, working with all kinds of famous celebrities, hairdressers, makeup artists, the whole gamut.
Yeah. So you had your, of course, degree from NCAD. You didn't just start off from nothing. So, you know, you were qualified college-wise,
yes.
But I suppose real life is very different, isn't it?
And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons I became so, you know, employable in New York. I was able to hem pants on set. You know, I was sitting there tailoring clothes quicker. You know, stylists were always blown away that I wasn't using ironing tape or I wasn't trying to do a quick fix. I was literally, you know, out with the needle and thread. I had the pants whipped up, you know, quicker than they could imagine. So I was in demand as an assistant, which was fabulous.
Brilliant. And who did you work with now? I just want names and I want gossip.
Well, I suppose I worked with a lot of top models. You know, this is the late 90s. So, you know, the supermodels were in their heyday. You know, it was like I went to El Salvador with Christy Turlington and her mom. We did a shoot for Latina magazine. So I worked with a lot of high profile stylists that were working with these girls a lot. I worked with Patti Wilson, who's a phenomenally successful stylist, and she worked with Naomi all the time. So here we were, whether we were in TV studios doing commercials or whether we were in studio doing print editorial, you know.
I think it's amazing when you think about Christy Turlington. She was one of the original supers. What was she like?
Oh my God, she's fabulous. And she's still fabulous.
Oh, she is. She's amazing.
She's just
love her.
So, you know, low key. And that's why it's so fabulous to see what they're all doing now, you know, what kind of path they've taken. And even here with the girls I would have worked with before I left for New York, I'm always so fascinated because I'm of the same, you know,
vintage,
generation,
yeah,
and the
yeah.
same vintage for sure. So, you know, I love to see the different paths that people have taken. So, you know, Christy's very involved with motherhood and Every Mother Counts and all of her kind of charity work and the causes that she supports. So it's just lovely to see what they evolve into.
And it's amazing because they've evolved, excuse me, into different careers. And we've seen, you know, Kate Moss was in Ireland recently launching her new range of products. And of course, Naomi Campbell has done the same, and they're writing books. And they've managed to stay the course.
They have.
Is it a generation thing,
well,
I wonder?
Know, and it's funny because the 90s are so hip again. You know what I mean? All the imagery and the photography and everything, it's all kind of resurfacing. And that's why even Amber Valletta, like, she's in every campaign in the States at the minute. She's in J. Crew. Karl Lagerfeld is using her for bags. Like, she's just popping up everywhere, and they're aging beautifully. And that's what's so fascinating to me, because, you know, it's a tough competition out there. You know, like, even you just mentioned Kylie, like, people of this generation, they're looking fabulous, they're feeling fabulous. There's no excuses for lying down and, you know,
right, you're right,
giving
actually,
up.
It's Stevie Nicks as well at 76.
And Stevie Nicks, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's why when I landed back on Thursday and I caught Roseanne Kenny on the show, it was fascinating, you know,
oh, yeah,
because, you know, I just love to hear the viewers or the listeners calling in and what they do to preserve themselves, because I'm all about that. Look good, feel good, do good.
Look
you
good,
know?
Feel good forever. No, you're right. Listen, I just have to talk to you about very quickly about Ben Affleck, because you've got a very good Ben Affleck story. And he's all over the news.
Unfortunately,
questions over his marriage in the last couple of weeks. But you met him.
Yeah, I met him years ago in LA. We were doing a shoot. And again, I was probably at his ankles, hemming his pants. And, you know, of course, everyone always picks up on my Irish accent straight away. And it's brought me a long way, you know. The Americans always love the Irish, so Ben started putting on an Irish accent and kind of making fun of me, and so I just looked up at him and I said, oh, you must have played the part of an Irish man at some point, did you? And I looked over and his publicist balked at me, like the cheek of me to first of all speak to him. But you know, I was like, I'm not going to be made fun of, you know. So he just laughed, and then we were great buddies after that.
Yeah, he did. Of course, he thinks he's Irish, and he's a Southie, of course, from Boston, and he's made so many movies about Irish. But I guess if you kind of are regular and normal and natural, they'll appreciate you more.
And yeah, exactly, because people are taught and told not to engage with, you know, these celebrities. So when I'm just kind of humbly chirping, you know, he's
chirping,
going to chirp back. Exactly.
And so, you've never lost your accent. Were you ever in the States? Did you ever feel you had to become more American to fit in?
You know, I have so many Irish friends. I used to always joke that I was coming back with a Dublin accent, you know. So I've definitely held myself among a lot of my peers, which is great. And, you know, my kids are all teenagers and 20s now. And it's funny because it's only since they went to high school that now they've noticed that I have an accent, because their friends are like, oh, I love how your mom talks, you know. And so now they're kind of making fun of me, which they never did as kids because they were so used to it. So,
my goodness. Now the accent. So how long are you in America? Is it 27 years?
27 years, yeah.
How is it now, especially, I mean, we just talked about Donald Trump earlier on there, getting into politics, but the climate has changed a lot in the States, hasn't it?
It's so crazy. You know, every time I come home, it's almost embarrassing to say, and even when you go to Europe, it's just, we're the laughingstock of the planet, really, you know. So, yeah, but it's crazy times right now. I couldn't believe all that. I missed it the other night. I only heard it the next morning. So,
like everyone else here. Yeah, well, it is a strange time, I suppose. Listen, let's talk about your range of beauty, because as you said, time marches on, but you really can look great forever. And I think one of the most important things myself is the eyes. I mean, I feel if I can have my eyes done properly, in the sense of good makeup and false eyelashes, which I would wear an awful lot when I'm presenting on TV, that makes a huge difference. I'm holding a pair of yours here. Tell me about them.
Oh, fab. Well, you know, it was all my years on set with, you know, when I was an editor at Cosmo, I did a lot of the beauty shoots. So I was really working with the top makeup artists, the top hairstylists. And I'm in those conversations because I was almost like an art director. So I realized that when the model's lashes were done, her face really became alive. She became much more exuberant and confident. And I'd hear the makeup artists kind of complaining that a lot of the false lashes were so false, you know, running the risk of, you know, looking like drag queens and whatnot. And that's when I had the aha moment that there really is space out there to do a lash focused brand, and I wanted to be kind of the lash authority. So whether you like false lashes, the right mascara, the right tools, I was going to give it to you, you know. So that was really where Lash Star was founded. So it's a very curated line. You know, there's no fluff. Everything really has a purpose, really works. And, you know, aging myself, it's like, you know, my hair's getting thinner. My lashes are getting thinner too. Nobody ever really equated lashes like an extension of your hair. So we always say, you know, find all that lash real estate you never knew you had. And all these mascaras were coming out with big clumpy wands. And, you know, it was hard to get right into the root of the lash. And, you know, if I'm going out for something special, I go for a great blow dry and get that lift at the root of my hair. And it's the same premise with our lashes. You want to kind of get right into the root. So that's why our full control lash sculpting mascara is the double ended that lets you get right into the lash.
It's got one side which is thicker and then a skinny side. But you know what I love? I'm holding another device, Urlish here in my hand, and I'm going to turn it on. This is a lash curler.
Yes, our USB charged, and it's a heated lash curler. And we actually called our lash styler because, you know, people are going to the salons now for lash tint, lash lifts. So this is actually your at-home lash lift.
How
so it's got a few different temperature settings. So I just like to
roll
it up to...
I'm at 75.
Perfect.
85. What should I go to? 85?
75 or 85 is fine. Depends if I'm spending a long time. It heats up and it's like a little titanium rod in plastic casing. So it's never going to get close enough to your eyelid or cause any damage.
I need a mirror. And I love to use my phone.
It's almost like how we use heated tools for our hair.
Okay.
I like to just, with the little teeth, you're going to bring it right in. You're going to let your lashes settle in the grooves, let the heat penetrate through your lashes and sweep up. So it's kind of going
to
give you that.
So you put it into the end of your lashes, is it?
Yeah, right into the root.
And hold it.
And hold it. Let the heat penetrate.
It's like a curling tongs for your lashes.
Exactly. And it's going to, the heat is the magic, because the heat is going to lift your lashes and sculpt them into place, you know. And I like to put on mascara first, so then it's kind of,
really?
You're doing your hair and you put in hair product and then you blow dry your hair. It's the same thing. If there's a little mascara already on your lashes, the heat has something to penetrate through.
Amazing. I've never seen one of these before.
I know, they're really fabulous. And because a lot of us, you know, maybe if you've got pin straight hair, or, you know, your lashes are going to have similar problems to what you have with your hair. And so for me, it's when I can get right into the root and lift, my eyes just feel more wide awake, open. You know, you were talking one day about, you know, piggy eyes in the morning. We all
hate
ourselves
and
first
actually,
thing in the morning.
On that, have you kind of, when you looked at this mascara and the lash curler and all that, I think Irish people in general, now I'm generalising here, we don't have long fluttering lashes compared to...
The guys do. It's always the guys.
The men do. My husband and son have the most amazing lashes in the world.
Yeah,
but what I mean is, in general, Irish people don't have the longest lashes.
Right.
Did you find that when you were researching?
I didn't specifically look at any, you know, country. A lot of times, to me, it's always the hair type, you know. And even if there's, if you can believe it, there are people with lashes that are too curly. And that's the beauty of it as well, because you can go over the top of your lashes and kind of coax them out. If you have lashes that curl back upon themselves and are hitting your eyelids, you know, it's a problem I wouldn't mind having. But, you know, I do, you know, through all the research and everything else and being on QVC and doing a lot of before and afters and working with models who have kinky hair and they have that lash that curls back into itself. This tool is fabulous because it's a styler. It's going to...
It's a lash styler.
Yeah.
So then you've got the lashes, because somebody got in touch. Oh, Claire is asking, what are the lashes made of? Now, they're quite light, Claire, actually. I'm feeling them here.
They're synthetic. We call them faux silks, basically.
Faux silk, yeah.
So they're synthetic fiber. But I spent so much time in the factory because at the end of the day, so many lashes can look plasticky, you know, and so obvious. But it's the process in which they're done. Ours, they're laid along the cotton band. The cotton band was very important to me because you can reuse the lashes 25, 30 times. And when you put on that lash the first time, the cotton band settles into your eyelid. So it's almost like your favourite jeans when you wear them the second time or the third time.
I wear lashes a lot.
Fit your shape.
Yeah,
so
over
these
and over.
Are beautiful because they mold along your lid. And then the process in which they're done is they're curled along a stainless steel rod and almost wrapped in greaseproof paper, parchment paper, as we call it in the US. And so that gives them kind of a fluffy texture, so they don't look synthetic. They look like your own natural hair.
Okay, so they're almost like a greaseproof paper and foil, that kind of feeling, is it?
Well, they're wrapped around the stainless steel rod, and then the greaseproof paper kind of takes that shiny look off them and makes them much more like your own. And all of ours are, you know, bespoke to Lashtar, of course. So the way the hairs are placed along the band, it's in a very multi-dimensional way, because your lashes don't grow in a straight line, you know. So
yeah, and you know what's interesting, Orla, is that I think basically when you talk about your lashes, I think as we get older, our lashes or, as you said, thinner. But I think it would look a bit odd, because younger girls seem to like the real thick lashes. But I think as you get older, you're rather a more natural look.
A much more natural look. And even across the trends of beauty, you know, everything's clean, vegan. We're all very conscientious about what we're putting on our skin, what we're putting on our face. So that's the one thing that I take a lot of pride in as well, is that the ingredients are really, you know, good for you. There's a lot of vitamin E, there's conditioning, there's jojoba oil, there's lots of things in the formula itself that are going to help, as we're aging, prolong our lash life.
I like this, prolong our lash life. So you can get them here as well in Ireland. We have somebody asking, where can you get the product in Ireland? You can get them, where can you get them here?
Cloud10.com.
Okay, Cloud10 Beauty.
And
Christy Brinkley has bought your mascara, is that true?
Yeah, you know, I get a kick out of just looking at our online customers. In the US, you know, the retail kind of landscape has changed a lot. And, you know, sure, I launched in Bloomingdale's, Bluemercury, Neiman Marcus, all of those fabulous retailers. But retail is struggling, you know, and there was no kind of getting away from going on Amazon, building up our own e-commerce platform. So with the beauty of that, you get to kind of take a look at who's shopping, you know. So I was thrilled to see Christy Brinkley. We get Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders, you know, they, Dawn wore our lashes on her book tour. Kate Beckinsale.
Amazing.
I see a lot of makeup artists. I've great relationships with a lot of makeup artists who even do the Housewives of New York or the Housewives of Beverly Hills. So it's fun
to
see.
How do you get that big though, Orla? So quickly, in a way, is it connections or
well,
what?
You know, I'm a small brand in the big scheme of things because, you know, mascara is the top cosmetics. It's a hugely saturated market and I'm up against the L'Oreals and the Lauders of the world. So I really, you know, kind of haven't bootstrapped the company myself to date. I really rely on word of mouth and just testimonials and all of that. So,
right.
Yeah.
When I kind of look at your personal life as well, you know, you've been in the States this long. You're divorced.
I am, yeah.
And you have three kids.
Four kids. Four, yeah.
It's tough, isn't it, to take this on as a mother of four children in a country that you really have to work very hard in. You're very brave that you decided to do this. You could have floated on in the career you were in.
I could have. Well, you know, turning 50 was a great thing too because, like, you know, our child-rearing years are over and we're rebirthing ourselves. So I've had this amazing kind of energy and positivity and self-awareness and really kind of being comfortable in my own skin. And you know, I'm a creative person. So, you know, it's just kind of sitting back and being like, OK, let's do it, you know.
And is that what happened? Did you have that kind of eureka moment?
Yeah, I feel like I really did and still am having it, you know, with just the different things. I picked up the guitar last year. I've started to, you know, learn a musical instrument. So I am. I'm loving life. And, you know, with my kids being high school and college, I have a new sense of freedom. And I do think, you know, it is all about getting up, looking good, feeling good and doing good. And you just then the energy comes with it.
I feel I'm talking to somebody from Sex and the City. That's what I feel like right now. I feel like a Carrie Bradshaw or one of the girls in that. I mean, you were in New York during those times.
Yes. And they were the best times, you know, because that's when I feel like the heroes really were the supermodels. You know, then the whole kind of landscape changed and social media became a big thing. And makeup artists and hairstylists, they weren't the royalty that they're not now, the royalty that they were then. You know, I remember being on set with Orbe or, you know, Pat McGrath or different people. And it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm here working with them, you know. Whereas now, you know, if you have a following of XYZ, you're an Instagram makeup artist and you've got that same credibility without having necessarily spent the day on set. So I loved the olden days, as I call them, when, you know, locations were exotic. People were just, you know, the creme de la creme in the industry.
My sister's a makeup artist too. And, you know, she's shot in places like Maldives and Namibia and all that. And it was during those times as well that, you know, the big campaigns that she was working on. Tell us a little bit about the Irish New York. Is it a bit of an Irish mafia that keeps you all buoyant?
There is a bit of an Irish mafia that does. You know, now we're all kind of a little older and families and different. You know, some people have moved from New York, and but we all keep in touch. I have a new brand I'm launching later this year. And one of my best friends from Dublin, who's a photographer, is going to shoot it for me. He lives in Atlanta, Andy Hetherington, and he's coming to New York to shoot it. So I keep very much in touch with my good Irish peeps.
Tell us about the new brand.
Well, you know, as a brand junkie and being of this certain age that I'm at, I just felt like, you know, I could spend days in the stores looking at products. And I was at a store opening for Blue Mercury one day and I noticed some products on the shelf that were geared towards menopausal women. And I felt, wow, these products are now hitting the shelf. You know, this is loud and proud, you know, because everywhere I felt I turned, there was talk about menopause. There's a whole new plethora of products available for women. We're addressing our needs and our wants and our concerns. So I decided that, you know, the space of personal lubricants, feminine products, it's still all very kind of masculine. There's nothing sexy and beautiful, you know. And I am a product junkie. I love packaging. I love when I buy a product, I want to feel special, that I'm doing something special for me. So I'm launching a brand called Lubify this fall. And, you know, I've already pitched it to some of the retailers and they're super excited about it because it is, it's an emerging space, you know. So I'm just going to ride the crest of the wave of this whole menopausal market. And you know,
this is very interesting because we'd often shy away from even this conversation now, but this is the reality of life as it marches on and age as we march on into it. So you are just filling that space.
Filling that space loud and proud, you know, because we deserve to have the space, you know, and own it. So I'm excited.
It's a very brave jump, isn't it? Because you know that mascara would sell. You know that lash curlers would sell. You know we're all obsessed with looking good and beauty and all that at any age, but oftentimes we shy away from what we might kind of almost hide in the back of the closet in our bathroom. But you're saying you want it in the front. Tell us exactly what your vision is.
My whole thing is helping women look good, feel good, have that confidence. Because, you know, that's the one thing I don't do. I don't come downstairs without mascara. I mightn't put any other makeup on, but once my mascara's on, I'm good to go. So I know that when I feel good and I feel confident, I can face the day. So, you know, as women, when we feel confident, when we have that inner pleasure, outer confidence, we are better to be around. There's no doubt about it. And I now, through the whole Lash Star experience, I love product. I love to make product. I can really go soup to nuts with development. And there's just a whole world out there of things I'd love to do. So one by one, I'm going to do them.
You are only starting, Orla. You are only beginning. Lash Star, lovely products, lashes, lash curlers, and that wonderful mascara bought by the supermodels. Orla McGuire, thank you so much. And your fellow Clonus resident, Fenton. I don't know if you know Fenton. He said, hi, Maura. Great to hear the wonderfully talented Orla McGuire on the show. A fellow Clonus resident, just wanted to welcome her home. She was on the bus going home to the mammy the other day, were you?
Yes, I was.
On the bus. No airs and graces with you, Orla.
Not.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Maura.
Absolute pleasure to have you. Let's take a little break. Back in a minute.